Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast, Episode 31. On this week's edition of the Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast, I have a lot of video game news to share with you, including the announcement for the release date of Rock Band for the Nintendo Wii, new Virtual Console games, and information on so much other stuff. Also, I share with you my link to my YouTube channel, a review of Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street on DVD, my recent trip to Madison, Wisconsin, and the retro vision this week is the antiques that I've recently found in Madison, Wisconsin. If you wish to contact me, please email me at SilverWolfPodcast@gmail.com. And now, let's rock and roll. Hello, fellow pack members, and welcome to another edition of the Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast. I am Silver Wolf, and now let's... Well, I've been through so much for the past 2 weeks, and... Well... And I'll get to that later. Let's get on with the video game news so far. First up, a few weeks ago, I don't know if I announced this, but Rock Band will be released from the Nintendo Wii, and the official release date is going to be June 22nd. There's going to be a bundle for it, along with individual peripherals, including guitars, mics, drums, and possibly the game itself. So. But there is going to be a bundle that's going to have 5 bonus songs, the drum set, and a wireless guitar, and as well as a microphone, all for $169.99. So better start saving those pennies if you want Rock Band for the Wii. And also, even though Wii does have online capabilities, there's no word yet on downloadable content for it. They're still working on that, see if they can pull it off, but so far there is no word yet on downloadable content. It might show up later, but I have no information on that. Next up, for those of you who actually heard of the Sega Master System, raise your hand if you know. Chances are you probably have heard about the Sega Master System. Some of you may have not, but. Sega has announced that Sega Master System games are currently available for the Virtual Console for only 400 Wii points. That's $4, which makes it the cheapest games you can get from the Virtual Console. And so far, the first games that are going to be released are Wonder Boy, which is kind of like Adventure Island, and Fantasy Zone, which is a shoot 'em up, kind of like Gradius a little bit, but you know, it's a little more. It's a little more trippy. But those are the first games they're going to release for the Virtual Console. There will be more, but I currently have no information on the other releases. Also, the upcoming Guitar Hero game, Guitar Hero Aerosmith, there has been some announcements for some of the songs that are going to be included with the game, including Aerosmith's Draw the Line, Make It, Sweet Emotion. And there's also some other songs from other bands, too, like Cheap Trick's Dream Police and The Kinks' All Day and All Night. There are still a few other songs announced, and pretty soon they might actually have a full list before the actual release date. So far, they only announced just a few, but they haven't announced all 40-plus songs so far. Next up, some of you probably remember a game called NFL Head Coach. Anyone ever heard of that game? That game did kind of bad with sales and reviewers. I personally have not played it, but you know, some people have and they say it's not that good. But EA is going to try Head Coach again with NFL Head Coach 09, and EA has said that it's only going to be available through the Madden 09 20th Anniversary Edition video game that's going to be released only on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Since Madden is celebrating its 20th anniversary when the next game is going to be released. It's going to be his 20th anniversary, and they want to release a giant bundle along with this game. It's going to include NFL Head Coach 09, the game itself, some exclusive content like DVDs and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I actually have lost count of what's going to be on it, but apparently it's going to be a lot of stuff, because guess how much the price tag is going to be for this thing? $89.99, about $90 for a special edition of Madden 09. So, it's going to be insane. Next up, Penny Arcade, some of you are familiar with that webcomic. They have launched Greenhouse Interactive. It's not a game company. It's what it actually is. It's kind of like Steam or GameTap, but except instead of like, you know, big games like, you know, from big companies like Valve or EA or any of those other big companies, this game is actually going to be focusing on independent games. So far, the only thing you can download from that site is their recent podcast announcing the website. But pretty soon, it's gonna launch Penny Arcade's own video game, plus maybe a few other indie games. It's still kind of in its beta process right now, but I assume that, you know, this could pick up a little bit. I mean, indie games are always so overlooked, and a lot of them are actually pretty fun. I actually have played a few indie games, and you know, like I said, they are pretty fun. Like, I have played Audio Surf on Steam, which is a independent game, and it's a pretty fun game. You take the music that you own and you play a game with it. It's almost like a combination between Guitar Hero and Amplitude, or Frequency, whichever version of the game you play. But still, I mean, like I said, independent games are always so overlooked, and it's always good to know that there is something that's always going to get the games, you know, there has to be some audience out there that's going to enjoy these games, and I'm actually looking forward to it. So, anyway, another big announcement, Sam & Max Season 1, which is a really great episodic series of games, if you have not checked it out yet, you can always purchase the complete season on the Telltale Games website. You can also purchase it at a video game store, and you can also check out the complete season 1 on GameTap. They've announced that Sam & Max Season 1 will be available on WiiWare, exclusively on WiiWare, in the fall. So that's probably going to be one of the first big announcements for Nintendo's upcoming WiiWare here in the United States. It's already big in Japan, but here I pretty much don't know. So yeah, expect Sam & Max Season 1 to be available on Wii this fall. Also, another announcement. Star Wars The Force Unleashed, which is the highly anticipated Star Wars game that's going to feature a whole bunch of stuff going on. It has been delayed a few times. And so many teasers and rumors about it. Well, right now, there's an official release date for United States, Asia and Australia, and Europe. It'll be released in America on September 16th. It'll also be available in Asia and Australia on September 17th, and Europe on September 19th. I pretty much have no information on, like, you know, the controls or the gameplay, but the storyline is going to be is that somehow Darth Vader has some sort of secret apprentice to help him aid his empire, you know, to help the empire. Well, you actually get a chance to play as Darth Vader's apprentice, and the game's going to take place between the end of episode 3 and the beginning of episode 4, you know, trying to fill in that huge gap between the films. LucasArts also said that, you know, they say it's going to be amazing. It's going to be one of the best Star Wars games ever made, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be available on Xbox 360, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation 3, along with the PSP, Nintendo Wii and the Nintendo DS. I'm really looking forward to this game. I'm a Star Wars geek, and I would really like to see how they're gonna pull this off with the Nintendo Wii. I mean, when LEGO Star Wars: The Complete Saga came out, you can actually use the Wii remote to swing around the lightsaber, but you know that's only like move left and right, and you can do the same attack over and over again. But I would like to see how they do with the Wii remote. It actually sounds pretty interesting. Also, this game has been rumored for quite a few weeks now. There has been leaked screenshots, high-res photos, and even a video. It has been leaked and it has been rumored, but Sega has came out and officially announced Sonic Unleashed. Now, and they also announced it for, they say late 2008, probably with the fall or holiday 2008 release, more likely holiday. So, but what's gonna be interesting about this? I mean, the last Sonic game I have played, which was Sonic the Hedgehog for the Xbox 360. I've actually and some people said that that's one of the worst games they've ever played. Well, I wanted to see for myself because I'm like that, and I'm a huge Sonic fan. Well, I actually found it on display at Innoventions at Epcot. I grabbed the controller. I had played it for a little bit, for about 5 minutes. You know, the game, I couldn't even stand playing it for 5 minutes. It's that bad. I cannot stand it. The controls are slippery. There's load screens everywhere. And the kicker, when I was launched on a ramp in one of the earlier stages, when I was launched on the ramp and I was about to land on, you know, wherever it is I needed to land, it was actually a beach. And here's the thing. You know, on a beach there's always that border where the sand meets the water, and you know that's where the tide comes in. Well, I actually landed like in the area, like in that small area where I think he can land perfectly. You know what he did? You know what Sonic did? I was playing Sonic at the time. You know what Sonic did? He actually went through the water, through the sand, and he died. What the heck was that all about? As soon as that happened, I thought, screw it, I'm done. This game's dumb. And it's just bad. But for this upcoming game, Sega said that this is going to pretty much reinvent the Hedgehog once again. They actually developed a brand new engine called the Hedgehog Engine. And what this is going to do is that it's going to seamlessly what's going to do is that it's going to go from 2D, like a 2D side-scroller. You can play as it's going to be a 2D side-scroller with, 3D elements, kind of like Sonic Rush. And then it's going to seamlessly go from 2D to 3D, kind of like in Super Paper Mario. And you get to move Sonic from side to side, kind of like in Sonic and the Secret Rings, which did work. It actually did work when I actually tried out Sonic and the Secret Rings. And it did work better than trying to control with a controller going back and forth and all that. It actually does seem pretty interesting. I've always loved Sonic in 2D, but in 3D, the only exceptions that I actually like Sonic the Hedgehog in 3D were the original Sonic Adventure games that were released for Dreamcast and the GameCube. So this I'm gonna be kind of interested in. Especially with this new engine, it's going to have some brand new gameplay and a kind of a weird storyline. Once again, it's Sonic and Dr. Eggman. Dr. Eggman has the Chaos Emeralds, and he splits the world into, the seven continents, and it's up to Sonic to go to each continent and try to piece the world together once again. And another thing about this is that there was one screenshot that has got everybody guessing. There's this one screenshot where it shows Sonic on the left, and in the back, actually on the left, it's like, you know, Sonic and kind of his, you know, he's kind of not too tall, and, you know, kind of like what he used to look like back in the old days, but in the background, there's like this shady Sonic-like figure with sharp teeth, and he's kind of hulking a little bit. This is getting some gamers kind of nervous or guessing of what this creature is. Is this a brand new hedgehog? Or is it going to be some sort of werewolf Sonic? It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird that, you know, to think about this. I mean, if it's a brand new hedgehog, I mean, that's going to bring the hedgehog count to Sonic, Shadow, Silver. It's got to bring the hedgehog count to 5. I mean, there's already 4. You got Amy, Sonic, Shadow, and Silver. But I don't know if this is going to be a 5th hedgehog or it's going to be a brand new form of Sonic. There has been too much of the storyline or the game so far, but they have anticipated they are going to release it in 2008. They've been working on this game for about 3 years, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to it because, like I said, it's going to be in 2D. Well, it's going to have some 2D plus 3D elements, so I'm actually looking forward to this. Let's just hope that Sega doesn't screw this up. If they screw it up, I'm just going to lose faith in Sega. When Sonic was on the Dreamcast, he was awesome. And when he was on the Genesis, he was awesome there too. But after sometime after Sega dropped, out of the console race and decided to make games. With games such as Shadow the Hedgehog and Sonic Next Gen, or as some people might say, Sonic the Craptacular or Sonic the Horror, you know, stuff like that, you know, people start to lose faith in Sega, especially with, you know, also with the 4Kids dub of Sonic X, but that's a completely different story. I just hope Sega doesn't mess this one up. I mean, they did okay with Sonic and the Secret Rings, but if they mess this up, like I said, I'm just gonna lose faith in Sega and Sonic Team, because most of the Sonic games have just been bad, with the exception of Sonic Rush and Sonic Rush Adventure. Those are awesome because they're back to the original formula. It's 2D and it's fast and they're just great. But Sega, don't screw this up. And anyway, back to when it's going to be released. Holiday 2008, and it's going to be available on 360, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, and the Nintendo Wii. Sega, don't screw this up. And finally, remember a few weeks ago I announced that there's going to be a Max Payne movie with Mark Wahlberg? Well, there has been talk that there's going to be another cast member in the movie. And guess who it's going to be? Chris O'Donnell. The last time... he's going to be playing as an executive of some sort of company. My guess, he's probably going to be one of the lead villains of the film. Because, you know, some companies always have some sort of secret drug ring and all that stuff. So Chris O'Donnell might play the antagonist in this upcoming film. And let's just hope he has a better role than what he got in Batman Robin. Oh, man, that was a bad movie. Anyway, Chris O'Donnell will be in the next Max Payne movie, which is going to be released in October of this year. So, yeah, I double-checked, and it's going to be released on mid-October. So, let's just hope that's a good video game-based movie, because there has been a few bad ones, as you probably might guess. But anyway, that's it for the news. It all came from GameSpot.com. So check out their news. Speaking of which, one thing that I was thinking about when it comes to news, since it is kind of getting difficult for me to go back 2 weeks for all the news that I've been giving you, what I might think about doing is that between shows, I might think about putting a bi-weekly, you know, just a straight news update, you know, to help me to, you know, make the telling news easier. But this, it just came to my mind. So, I'm not saying that I'm going to do it. It's just a thought, but if I am going to do it, I'll announce it. So, but anyway, another thing I'm announcing is that I have a brand new YouTube channel. That's right, I have a brand new YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/SilverWolfPodcast. And so far, I only have my Brawl preview video up on that on it. And one favorite, which is Hulk Hogan giving a Falcon Punch to a basketball player. You know, it was like a tag team match between Hulk Hogan and Dennis Rodman and Harper and Diamond Dallas Page. I actually saw that on pay-per-view. It was pretty funny. But anyway, that's beside the point. I have a brand new YouTube channel. For some of the shorter videos I might make in the future, that's going to be less than 10 minutes. They'll be on this channel because YouTube stinks when it comes to videos over 10 minutes. So I might have previews and, you know, some smaller videos on the YouTube channel. I'm probably not going to do it and use it that much right now, but it'll develop sooner or later. Just wait. It'll develop. So, anyway, that's it for my other announcement. And let's move on to my DVD review right here. This is of Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street on DVD. This is the 2-disc special edition DVD. It was released a few days ago on April 1st, and I have talked a little bit about this movie before, and like I said, this is a really great film. Johnny Depp is absolutely spectacular in this. He has a good voice, and you know, I just love this movie. And the DVD is the DVD is pretty good. There's a 2-disc edition and there's also a 1-disc edition. I highly recommend the second disc, the 2-disc version. The transition between, you know, film and DVD is pretty good. There's also, if you order the 2-disc special edition, there's a lot of great special features on here. There's one special feature on disc 1, which is a, you know, kind of like a somewhat behind the scenes of the film, which is, you know, yeah, it's a behind the scenes look with, you know, the making of the film and the recording sessions with Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter. And, you know, there's also like, you know, an interview with Tim Burton as well. So that's only one special feature. That's if you only get the 1-disc version of the film. But if you get the 2-disc version, you get so much more, including the history of Sweeney Todd. There's a lot of history behind the musical. There was a movie before it. It was a play. It was a series of horror stories. You know, it was really interesting, especially, you know, for the time that Sweeney Todd was, you know, a horror story and something that parents tell the kids that if you don't behave, Sweeney Todd's gonna kidnap you and cut your throat or stuff like that. What a good way to tell children how to behave. But anyway, there's also a documentary on the musical of Sweeney Todd. There's a brief tour of London from Sweeney Todd's point of view, because the locations in the movie are actually based on real London locations. There's another behind the scenes, you know, how they make the film. There's also a photo gallery, and there's also a movie phone interview with them. And plus, even how they make the blood flow in the film. I mean, when it comes to blood flow, Sweeney Todd, jeez. They make the blood flow so much, it's almost like watching a Quentin Tarantino film. Or Quentin Tarantino musical. But, whatever. The DVD is great. There's a lot of special features. And since this was a musical, I didn't really expect too much to be taken out. There's no deleted scenes, which is kind of understandable because I actually have listened to the original Broadway cast recording of Sweeney Todd, and they haven't really cut much from the actual musical. So, and unfortunately, even though there's no bloopers, but I don't really expect bloopers to be on this DVD anyway. But still, this is a really good DVD. Pick up the 2-disc edition if you're into, you know, the musical or if you're into the Legend of Sweeney Todd. Oh, by the way, the real history of Sweeney Todd, that documentary, they're also saying that there actually could be an actual Sweeney Todd because, you know, there has been, like, a string of similar murders and all this other stuff. It's really fascinating. All in all, this is a really good DVD. I highly recommend it. If I was to score it, I wish there could have been, like, you know, a few other things and maybe not too many photo galleries or art gallery. Like, there's already, like, 2 photo galleries, one that's a musical slideshow and one that's just, you know, slides of sketches and all that. You know, they could put in a couple, you know, a few other things, but still, this is a really good DVD. I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10. I highly recommend it. It's a great film, and I just love, it's just a really fun film to watch. There's dark comedy in it. The music's fantastic. Johnny Depp is absolutely amazing as, you know, as Sweeney Todd. But the one thing it's not bad, but it's always been bothering me. Every time when I see this film, I always feel like Captain Jack Sparrow is just going to pop out of nowhere and just do something, because Johnny Depp sounds so, always goes with his, like, kind of like a Captain Jack Sparrow voice with Sweeney Todd, because, well, they both, well, Sweeney Todd's from London, he has a British accent, and Captain Jack Sparrow, someone has a British accent too, so, yeah. Once again, 9 out of 10, pick it up, it's a great movie, and if you haven't seen it, watch it, but just be warned, it is rated R for blood. But still, I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. Next thing I want to talk about, some of you, I don't think you probably, most of you even care, but I didn't do an April Fool's joke this time. In fact, I don't think I actually ever did an April Fool's joke. I would try to do one, April when I was in Disney, but so much stuff got in the way, I couldn't really do a podcast at all. But I have pulled one April Fool's joke, and this was on the Disney Podcast Network. The thing is, IGN posted a special video saying that there's a released trailer for an upcoming movie based on The Legend of Zelda. This was, of course, a prank. And I've noticed this first on Joystick, and I thought, you know, I really want to pull something. So I actually went on the Disney Podcast Network, and I put up a new topic called Legend of Zelda Movie Announced. And I posted a link to the IGN site with the trailer and the synopsis and all that. And, you know, to make sure that, you know, some people think that's not going to be a Rickroll or anything, I actually posted the full link, and, you know, so far, a couple of people bought it, some people didn't, thought this was a joke, but around, I say around 7 o'clock, I just said, you know, this was all a joke, I knew it was a prank before, I just want to post it on this website and, you know, see how many people would buy it. And on the bottom, I actually put a YouTube video saying, well, it's better than having Beaker Rickroll you. And I posted a link of Beaker Rickrolling people. And also, I also post a link on that. So, I'm actually writing it down. But, you know, what the thing is, I actually posted a video of Beaker singing Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley and saying that this whole thing was a Rickroll, and some people thought, eh, you know, fun, good one, and, you know, I made amends and all that. But, you know, there's been a lot of websites that actually pulled some April Fool's jokes, like VG Cats changed the look of their website. GameSpot pulled off a few fake stories, like Disney is making a bum-related sim or something like that. IGN did The Legend of Zelda. And YouTube, they've caught on with the whole famous Rickroll prank, which is pretty much you post a link to a YouTube video, and it leads to like saying that, check out this video, or, you know, check out this silly video, and people click it, and it's nothing but a Rick Astley music video. YouTube caught on to this, and they decided to, you know, pull every, you know, almost every link as a Rickroll. So it was pretty interesting. But, you know, I thought, you know, I don't really want to do it this year because you guys are awesome. You listen to my show, and henceforth, you all kick ass. And, yeah, so, y'all, you're awesome. So, but you're safe for now. Also this week, also, I almost forgot about this. Speaking of April Fools, that was April 1st. And do you want to know what else came out on April 1st?
They tap into your bloodstream like tiny little vampires. They hack into your nervous system like you were a walking computer network built just for them. They flood your body with chemicals that cause fear, paranoia, and psychotic rage. It's a disease that thinks. It's a disease that talks. And if you're lucky, you die before it becomes a disease that walks. On April Fool's Day, experience the horror thriller novel, Infected, the major hardcover release from number one bestselling author, Scott Sigler, creator of the free podcast novels, Earthcore, Ancestor, and Nocturnal. Available April 1st, online and in bookstores everywhere. Free audio chapters of Infected are available at scottsigler.com and infectednovel.com. The disease kills you slowly if the cure doesn't kill you first.
That's right. Infected is released. And I bought it on April 1st. I've looked into it. I read some of it. Let me tell you. It's good. Get it. Get it. Do it. Do it now. Now. Do it now. Do it. Go. I'll wait. But not for long. Because I actually got to talk about some other things I did last weekend. But still, do it! Do it! Do it now! Do it now! Go! Go! Go buy it! It's good! It's a horror! It's a thriller! It's, violent! But, whatever. One thing, this is going to be leading into the last section, which is my retrovision. And that is what I did last weekend. I actually saw my brother. I visited my brother in Madison, Wisconsin. And he performed an independent play called Leprechaun. It's about this couple that goes to Ireland. And a whole series of really weird events start happening. It's a comedy. And it was actually pretty good. It was a really interesting show. But the thing is, the theater itself is pretty interesting. The show was excellent. and some of you probably never heard of it. That's because the show itself is independent. It took place in a theater called the Broom Street Theater that's in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a very small theater that takes, I'm trying to think how many people were there. It was pretty much a full house. So, no more than like 50 people in the theater. It's that small. And there's no stage, little lighting, and it's a pretty interesting history. I mean, some people want the place torn down, and some people just don't like the idea of independent place just popping out of nowhere. But what's really interesting about this theater is, like I said, there's no like big productions like Les Mis or Family Opera or Rent or Little Shop of Horrors or Evil Dead the Musical or Spamalot. None of that will be performed in this theater. It's going to be all independent shows. And the theater itself, like, you know, the pricing is actually relatively cheap. It's actually, the tickets, no more than $8. It's the price of a movie theater ticket. And that's what they want to do. And they're always asking, and that's pretty much all they ask, is just to pay for the ticket. And, of course, like 75 cents for a soda. But they always ask for donations, like, you know, you can put in, like some money for the place itself, because it's not owned by any company. And you can also put money in an actor's box, because that's the only way the actors are going to get paid. If people put money in the actor's box, that's how the actors are going to get paid. They didn't do this for money. They all do it you know, out of love. And some really interesting shows take place there. I actually have the website up right now. It's broomstreet.org, broomstreet.org, and it's a very small theater. It's kind of tucked in the back a little bit, so it's kind of hard to see at first, but, you know, it's still a really nice theater. It's not too big, and, you know, it's not too fancy, but it's always really interesting. And it's also been voted as it's actually voted as Madison's favorite theater, you know, for Madison, Wisconsin. So that's a pretty big honor. And like I said, the shows are all independent. They're not big shows, and the cast are not always really big. And it also has a really interesting history as well. So check out broomstreet.org for more information on the show. And you can also check up on their season and, you know, where it is and upcoming events and all sorts of other cool stuff. So check it out. It's really nice. And for a small theater, of course. And since the show was, like, late at night, I had to stay overnight in Madison. So, the next day, my brother had some time to kill before his next show, and, my family, as well as two other people that came with us, we wanted to explore the area for a little bit. We actually stumbled upon an antique shop. Now, this is going to lead into the Retrovision on the antiques that I found, since Retrovision is all about the good old days and all sorts of good stuff that you or I probably experienced as kids. So this one is going to be on the antiques that I have found. There's a lot of great antiques in there. There's old record players, bed frames, silverware, jewelry, books, things to decorate the home. There's all sorts of cool stuff in there. And I actually found three very interesting products, and I actually took two of them home. The other one's pretty expensive. The thing I found first was an old Mickey Mouse rocker that cost about $345. If it was cheaper, I probably would have taken it home, but it's kind of big. And but even though it was on discount because the store is having a huge sale, you know, kind of a huge moving sale because they lost their lease and they're moving to another, you know, another building. But that's beside the point. It's still pretty expensive, but it was an old Mickey Mouse rocker, probably from the 1940s, because the way, the Disney fanatic that I am, the Mickey Mouse figure was, you know, kind of like what he looked like when Fantasia came out. So, you know, he had more meat on his bones, and he was less of a stick figure. So, my guess, the rocker came out in the 1940s. So that was actually pretty cool to look at. But the other two things that I found were very interesting. The other thing that I found was an old Snow White and the Seven Dwarves children's book from 1938. This book is about 70 years old. And it's also the time when Snow White and the Seven Dwarves came out the theaters. That's how old this book is. And, you know, it was I got it because, you know, why not? This is a really interesting item. I mean, it's an old book, and the first couple pages are in black and white, then it transcends to color. But still, it's pretty interesting. There's no markings on it. It's almost in perfect condition. I mean, yeah, it's still, like, you know, stained a little bit because of age. But still, it's really interesting, and I can't believe I actually found something like that. But that is nothing compared to the other thing I have found. The other book that I have found is almost 100 years old. Now, this book may not be a Disney book, but it is a staple in Disney's history. It's called The Boy Mechanic, Volume 1. Now, for those of you who are complete Disney fanatics and know a lot about the Haunted Mansion are probably freaking out by now, but let me explain what this book is. For those of you who actually been to Walt Disney World and been inside the Haunted Mansion, you probably noticed all the spooks and all that. The effect that mansion is called the Pepper's Ghost Effect. And one of the Imagineers, Raleigh Crump, he actually got this book and looked up the Pepper's Ghost Effect, and that's what it is. It's an old parlor trick that's over 100 years old. And when I first saw this, I thought, I gotta get this book. It may not be a Disney book, but it is a staple in Disney's history. So those are two things that I bought from the antique store. Were just the Snow White book and the Boy Mechanic. And I'll have pictures of the books on my Flickr page, as well as a picture of the Mickey Mouse rocker that I took with my cell phone because I didn't have my camera at the time, because I didn't really think I needed it, but now I wish I did. But I'll have photos of the book on my Flickr page. You can find the link at swabp.blogspot.com. I'll have photos of, like, you know, some of the pages, the cover, the back cover, the front cover, all sorts of pictures, because these are really interesting books and really interesting antiques. And, you know, if you ever do stumble across an antique shop, and if it's open, you know, just take a look inside. You might find some really, really cool stuff in there. A few other things that I found in the antique shop were, like, moose heads, other books, like one by Charles Lindbergh. What else? Jeez. Old Wizard of Oz books by Frank Baum. Yikes, I can't even describe how much stuff you can find in an antique shop. Or even, like, I can't believe I actually found something like this. Like, old golf clubs, curling stones, which are really heavy. No joke, they are heavy. Axes, bows and arrows, all sorts of cool stuff. It antique shops are really interesting to check out. And if you ever do have one in your area, or, you know, if you're on the road and you're like at a, like in a small town, stop by the antique shop, take a look around, and see what you can find. There's a lot there. You might even find stuff for your home to, you know, decorate your house with. You might find, well, some old, like I did. I found old Disney books. Or you might find so much stuff at an antique shop. It's absolutely amazing. So, you know, if you're ever on the road and you stumble at an antique shop, stop by, take a look around, and, you know, some of the stuff are not that expensive either. I mean, yeah, sure, some of the stuff may be, like, over $100, but, you know, you might find some small knickknacks that might cost, like $5-$10, or, you know, something like that. I mean, no, these things are relatively old, so. But still, you may never know what you might find in an antique shop. So, and that also goes for garage sales, too. I mean, go to a garage sale, you might find, like, t-shirts, like, old t-shirts, or video games and toys, and, you know, some other stuff that the family wants to give away. So, you know, stop by some of these small stores and you might find a treasure. I mean, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Am I right? So, but yeah, I had a lot of fun down there. I had some really good food. There were, like, a couple good restaurants, some nice places to shop. And, you know, it was all good, but the ride there and right home were kind of a mess because, well, I had to read something and I had to write a paper that was due Wednesday, so yeah, that was pretty fun. But anyway, with that, with the end of Retrovision, I think it's time to close out the show for this week. I hope you all enjoyed this week's edition of the Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast. If you want more information and links from this show, don't forget to check out the blog at swabp.blogspot.com. All the links are there, as well as my email address, which is civilpodcast@gmail.com. On the next show, well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to show up, so make sure you stay tuned, save, subscribe. And also, the music from the show is by Kanto 6 and is from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. And until next time, Pack members, stay subscribed and rock on!